Love and Light. This is Healthy Talk Show for Sunday, March 3rd, 2019. I'm Robert.
And I'm Marissa.
And I'm Daniel.
Healthy Talk Show is a live weekly discussion of various topics relating to health. We stream live on Sundays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 2300 UTC at healthytalkshow.com/live. With podcast versions available soon after over at healthytalkshow.com/subscribe. Subscribing, that is a weird typo, to our podcast is 100% free, and it makes sure you get every episode as they're released. healthytalkshow.com/support. If you'd like to help the show financially using PayPal or Patreon, value for value. We provide you value. If you feel we provide you value, please provide some back in whatever form you feel. Feedback is valuable. Rate us on iTunes, please. iTunes is a currency on the thing, too, in the market we're trying to get in, this free podcast market. iTunes is important. Spotify is important. Email us, ask@healthytalkshow.com. Call and leave us a voicemail, 509-878-3229. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, healthytalkshow.com/YouTube. Show notes for this episode and links with everything we talk about are located at healthytalkshow.com/HTS10. Because it's episode 10, HTS10. Show housekeeping.
You're injured?
Yeah, that's not show housekeeping. That's nothing to do with the show.
I didn't know we were going to mention it.
No, it doesn't matter. Well, if you want to help, healthytalkshow.com/support.
He cannot put his own headphones on.
Yes, so. Yeah. I cannot put my own headphones on. It's a challenge. I have a little injury. It should be okay. We'll see. We'll keep you updated. We don't know what's going on. Don't want to say anything. Don't want to make any assumptions.
It's true. We're going to our doctor.
We're going to our doctor.
WebMD.
Next.
It's probably cancer.
Yeah. WebMD says it might.
No, actually, WebMD says heart attack.
Yeah,
or it arm actually, pain.
It does.
If you so just Google arm pain.
We tested my blood pressure several times with my blood pressure tester. And it was off the charts good. Off the charts good. But yeah, we were freaking out about that. Because it started off, wrong camera. No. dropped my camera switcher. Sorry, it's okay. We're back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're having a heart attack right now?
I might be. I thought I was.
That's what happens when you go to WebMD. We've talked about this.
Yep. That's right. That's why you don't go to WebMD. Or you go to all sources or no sources and also consult your doctor. That's what they get paid to do. That's what you're paying them to do. Especially my doctor. She's great.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see her. I'm going to tell her about this show. She better watch.
And she's holistic.
So. And she's more holistic than most, yes. It's beautiful.
That's what we're about, blending holistic and modern medicine.
Together. Healthy like talk the sand show. At sand weddings.
What?
Sand weddings?
Yeah, sand weddings.
Do you like rolling the sand or
something? No, and I went with my ex. I went to one of these weddings and I saw the sand. I said, oh, shoot, this is a sand wedding. I was really excited. It was at an observatory where both parties, the groom and the bride, have sand and they throw sand into a jar. It's a clear jar.
Yeah.
And the sand, you know, mixing symbolizes their relationship and unity.
Oh, so are they different colored sand?
Yeah. Supposed to be. Yeah, supposed to be different. Different sand.
That's lame. Every color mixed together just makes poop.
I know, it's dumb. It doesn't look good at the end.
Did you do that sand art stuff in the 90s?
Yes, I did. I had a lot of sand art. My sister was very good at it. Misty. Oh, nice. Was very good. She did really beautiful sand art.
Yeah, and then if you shake it up, though, it looks
It looks like crap. It's pointless. Okay.
Well, anyways.
Okay, we have a dilemma. Your parents are coming to visit.
Ah, right.
And
the other elephant in the room.
They've met me once previously for a night. They met me for one day, 24-hour period. They like me. They are from very conservative Texas. And there's something about me. They don't know that I smoke cannabis a frequent basis.
We should have a bong rip for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right now.
So what are we going to do? What should we do? We're asking everybody listening to this right now. That's why it's in the front of the show. Ask@healthytalkshow.com. Want to hear your story.
If you have coming out stories of marijuana use
coming
to
out
your family.
As a marijuana user to your family, to your very conservative family, want to hear about it.
Ask@healthytalkshow.com.
Because your parents are not going to be happy.
Oh, they're going to lose their poop.
So should we warn them before they walk in the door and see my giant bongs hanging out?
Or what if it's art?
No, it's not art. I smoke.
And then you'll be ripping.
Yeah, I'll be ripping the art.
Just put some flowers in there and you're good to go.
Yes. I like Dan's idea.
No. All right. Bad idea.
Ask@healthytalkshow.com.
What should we do? What do you think?
Should they come clean? Maybe not. Probably not. horrible idea, or should they? Like,
no, what? I want to be exactly.
Yeah,
no.
Put some flowers in
it. I want to be honest. The chat room is saying, put some flowers in it and pretend it's a pot. No, I want to be honest and forthcoming. I am a big cannabis supporter. I love cannabis. It's great.
Scared.
I'm not ashamed of it. I shouldn't have to be ashamed of that. To your parents should be okay with it. It's legal, especially if it's illegal. It's illegal in California. It is.
It is legal.
Do you want to talk about some news?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Revisiting a topic from last week, Ars Technica, YouTube will disable comments on most videos
of kids.
Yeah, of kids because of pedophiles. Sorry.
We've been talking about
this. I'm
really
tired.
So we started this last time.
Yeah. YouTube will now take stronger action to prevent predatory comments posted on videos of children. According to a blog post, YouTube will suspend comments on videos that feature minors that could be at risk of attracting predatory behavior. This measure is designed to prevent predatory commenters from gathering in the comments section of such videos. Based on our review of historical comments, a small number of channels that we have identified as having a high level of risk of predatory comments will not be able to re-enable comments, even with moderation. The owners of these channels will be notified of these actions, unlike the anti-vax guy last week who complained.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know. It's kind of unfortunate that, again, the content creators are the ones to suffer.
Yeah. And so, we're the parents.
So does that mean you could just, like, go into some channel and just, like, comment some dumb stuff?
And... Yeah, and get the comments turned off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. That's what I'm kind of interested in finding out. Some of the headlines were sensationalized, saying that they're taking comments down across the board. I don't think that's the case yet. Although, is that a bad thing?
No, the comment section is pretty, I would say, cancerous. And so,
that's nice of you. That's a nice word.
But
it's vile.
Yeah, but it's not YouTube's place to control it.
Mm. No, I'm just talking about the comment section on any video ever.
Yeah.
I'm talking about most of the, if there's a good amount of comments, a lot of them are going to be bad comments. I'm not talking about pedophilia. Yeah. I'm just talking about jerks.
Yeah. And it always goes down to hatred politically.
Yeah.
The comments for
exactly.
whatever reason. Even
exactly.
if it's about puppies.
Exactly. And I actually pulled up something here from the Google post because I wanted to read some of the reactions to this here. Where then based on a review of historical comments, a small number of channels, blah, 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 blah. Interesting. Once again, you are punishing your creators for doing nothing. Demonetizing people for comments they don't make is obviously one of the worst decisions to make. You're literally throwing the baby out of them. Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's kind of how I feel.
Yeah. YouTube. But YouTube has, again, it's... Why is it YouTube's responsibility?
Yeah.
The parents if the parents should really be involved in what the children or what's being posted of their children. Why is it socially acceptable to post your children online? I don't. That's kind of weird. That freaks me out every time I see someone that's my age with a kid posting pictures of their child on Instagram. It creeps me out.
Yeah.
It really does.
We could actually talk about that because I've seen a few headlines where the kids are discovering that they're online without their permission.
And they're not happy about it. No, of course. I wouldn't be happy about it either.
Yeah, because their personal details are out there.
Yeah.
That their parents felt like it was okay to share, but the kids do not.
Exactly. And it's all facial recognition stuff in the long term, long scheme.
That's another thing that no one's really talking about is now that we're watching these children age, how will that change not only facial recognition technology, but now these children will kind of be tracked better than ever.
Yeah.
Because you've seen them age.
Yep. Moving on. Wired. YouTube CEO defends its efforts to reduce violent content. YouTube CEO Susan, I don't know how to say her last name. Defended her company's efforts to keep violent content off the video platform at the 6th annual Lesbians Who Tech Summit Friday in San Francisco. She was interviewed by Kara Swisher. That's great. I like that.
Yeah.
About 500 hours of videos uploaded to YouTube every minute.
I mean, it's just crazy. We can't expect them to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The company removed nearly 8 million in the third quarter of 2018. 8 million videos. That's 75% were identified by machine learning. And has anyone really talked about the I just thought of this randomly. The how this is not all machine learning, how there are these large data centers with people actually watching a lot of these videos. Facebook has a lot.
I don't think that we've really talked about that.
And the employees are starting to come out really slowly and say, this stuff's disgusting, because they're watching beheaded videos or watching vile, vile stuff, because you, of course, can upload anything to these sites. And they're, so it's not machine learning that's cracking the code on, it's people. And people are being exposed to this, and it's starting to really, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if it's coming out large scale enough yet. I'm just reading, I read, you know, listen to podcasts, and they read emails from people, and they say, oh, this is happening.
Yeah.
Is it like the corporate, like, are they, or like other businesses, like asking them to crack down on this? Or, because I could understand that, but like if they're just doing it on their free will, like.
The companies themselves?
I think it's
like the advertisers, or
yeah,
it's pressure from advertisers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because advertisers control everything. If you have that stuff floating around, the advertisers pull you. That's why Healthy Talk Show is not in the advertising model. We do value for value, supported by the listener / producer. All
right. Yeah. we have one of our producers here.
Yeah. Yep. One of our producers. In this story. Same story. Last fall, Google employees staged a walkout in response in part to a New York Times report that the company paid Android creator Andy Rubin $90 million to exit the company following accusations of sexual misconduct. $90 million?
Damn.
Damn. Damn. For being a bad person? Woo!
It's not a bad deal.
It's not a bad deal. All right. Next story. We got this is a good one. The Next Web, online pricing algorithms are working together to make your life more expensive. Originally, online shopping was hailed as a benefit to consumers because it allowed them to easily compare prices. The increase in competition this would cause, along with the growing number of retailers, would also force prices down. But what are known as revenue management pricing systems have allowed online retailers to use market data to predict demand and set prices accordingly to maximize profit. That's dangerous because that means you're not saving money anymore.
Yeah. So what can we do now?
Nothing.
That's not very encouraging.
This story goes farther into it and says there's a new pricing model. It's called algorithmic pricing programs. They're far more sophisticated than the original revenue management systems because of developments in artificial intelligence, AI.
Oh.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then it brings up, you know, the voice assistants learn about the users, and the thermostats can also... The story doesn't talk about the thermostats. I'm talking about the thermostats. Yeah. It learns behavior.
Do you guys buy from Amazon a lot?
Not really, no. Yeah, there's a list. There's a site called Camel, which people use that I follow because it's a price tracker for Amazon. So you put in the link to the Amazon product, Camel. I don't know. Oh, just type it into Google, and it'll follow the price trend so you can see it. Because you can... I've seen you can manipulate the pricing in an Amazon shopping cart.
Yeah.
What? Just by based on VPN and all that good stuff.
I've noticed that. I guess how can we thwart these algorithms? Just use a VPN or.
I don't know. Well, how sophisticated are the algorithms really? Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they're that sophisticated. As sophisticated as they'd want you to think they are.
But then they're also tracking trends. So either way, if they know a bunch of people are going to buy this product around this time.
Exactly. And similar to the Uber surge pricing, which the article brings up. Another thing about Uber is it's something, there's like a bid model between Uber and drivers now. Something, so you're not supposed to accept the first offer. You're supposed to reject it two times and then accept the third one.
Yeah,
I've heard that. You get a better deal in Uber. So just FYI, pro tip there.
Although I've tried that before and it didn't work.
No. Oh. Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
We don't use Uber that often.
That's true. So.
Yeah. Vox, why is the wedding industry so hard to disrupt? This article is interesting. Kind of talking about how you can't really disrupt the wedding industry and how companies are trying and they just can't crack the code. Zola, is that the company?
Yeah.
Yep.
This one's actually had a lot of success, and it's funny because we know some of our friends that have used it.
Yeah. Zola did $650 million.
Yeah.
Well, that's how much it's worth. It's pretty good.
The issue is these wedding companies, it's just too competitive. Everybody thinks that this is a good industry to enter since couples are looking to spend $30,000, you know, on average for a wedding. But
yeah, the average in 2017, $33,000.
They invest all these money in these customers, but then they're not of a returning customer. So it's a really hard market to break into.
Yeah. $3 billion in the U.S. a year. $72 billion globally.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane. Pinterest says 40 million use it to plan a wedding every year. I call that bull crap. But people do. Million? People use Pinterest to plan weddings, though. They do.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. I know personally someone that was trying to plan a wedding through Pinterest.
But therein lies the problem is there's too many free services now.
Yep. And the article interviewed someone who founded a company called Wedding Lovely. She's no longer there. And she said, I would definitely avoid the wedding industry.
Yeah.
I eloped in Vegas. I didn't want to have a wedding after seeing everything that goes into a wedding. I wanted to be more holistic and less consumerist, but it's really hard to change that at a large scale. Unfortunate.
I feel like we kind of encountered that issue.
Yeah, we should talk about that. Go ahead. Let me drink some tea.
Yeah,
how do we get married?
Yeah, let's hear about that. Let's hear your views on marriage.
We spent $95 to get a marriage license.
That's correct. $95. So everyone else that says they can't afford to get married, $95 is not that expensive.
Yeah. But I feel like people don't like us because we didn't have a wedding.
Yeah, they get offended.
I didn't even get invited.
Invited to nothing.
Yeah.
You're invited to nothing. I think our parents were more offended. Even though they should have been happy that we weren't spending money.
Yeah, spending bunches of money. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's hard to change the conformities of the wedding industry. People go nuts.
Yeah. Even people at work look at me like I'm crazy. When they say, where'd you get married? Nowhere. Courthouse. But then everyone I talk to that's older than me that's had a wedding, they all say if they could go back, they would not do it again.
Yeah.
It's too much money, too much headache, too much stress, not worth it.
Or some people that we know that are planning weddings are just getting way too stressed out.
They
don't have
families one. Are freaking fighting and kicking each other out of the house. All kinds of wedding drama that we know from two friends that we have.
Yeah,
it's all of a sudden everything was perfect and now they started planning a wedding. Now they're at war.
Yeah,
just because of the wedding planning. It is crazy.
Weddings, man.
Anthony Talk Show thinks weddings. We need to reevaluate the wedding industry.
Well, did you guys at least pick a nice courthouse? Come on.
Yeah, we did in Riverside.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, nice courthouse in Riverside. And then we ate sushi in Santa Monica.
Oh,
sugarfish.
So cute.
If anyone wants to buy a sugarfish sushi, it's really delicious. HealthyTalkShow.com/support. It's the only meal I will eat out anymore. I won't eat out anything else. It's not worth it.
It's true. I make pretty good food.
You make great food. Daily Mail. Fast food is less healthy than it was 30 years ago because calories and sodium levels have swelled.
Yikes.
Fast food portions are bigger, saltier, and fattier than ever. Report reveals meal sizes have ballooned in 30 years, adding hundreds more calories to our trays. Calorie portion sizes and sodium content have increased in fast food compared to 30 years ago. Per decade, entree sizes rose by 30 calories, desserts by 62, and sides by about 14. Sodium also increased by about 14% in entrees, 12% in sides, and 4% in desserts. And then the article says right there in a little summary, one bright spot is that calcium in desserts increased by about 4% per decade, and iron increased about 1.5%. What do we think?
Fast food is bad, I guess.
And getting worse.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Fat, sugar, salt, man. They keep you addicted.
Yep. It's really bad.
Yeah.
I mean, someone should like go over like what they can do to like eat a healthy lunch, maybe. I don't know.
We will.
Spoiler, maybe.
I will.
I don't know.
I will do that later in this episode. We're going to isolate this episode.
We'll talk about how we don't eat out and how we accomplish that.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
I found this.
I don't think it's possible, but okay. Prove me wrong.
Yep. So the study is legit. It was published in the Academy of Nutritional Diet.
Yeah, whatever. I don't remember how to say your name, Martine? We had.
Do we know somebody there?
European exchange student, and she said that everything had like either sugar or salt in it, and she was kind of grossed out. And that was something we heard about a couple times, right?
Yeah, some foreigners think that our bread is really sweet.
Oh, sugar, yeah.
Oh, interesting. You think there's too much sugar in the bread?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's not a complaint that I've heard just once. So.
Interesting. Wow.
That's not helping the American diet.
Hey, yeah, it's not. So no Mexican sweet bread then? what you're saying.
Probably not. That's really
that was exactly the problem. Sweet, you know, bread.
I love Mexican food. Who doesn't? But it's all horrible for you.
Hey, I'm watching the Mixer chat. It's blowing up right now. There's really? Stuff going on. If really? You guys want a shout out or anything, let me know. I'm in the Mixer chat watching you.
If there's questions, you can ask them. Robert will let us know.
Yeah, I'll ask the question for you on behalf.
We appreciate the love, Mixer.
Yep, we appreciate that. Exactly. That was a good study, though. Fast food's bad. We don't eat fast food. New York Times, FDA says Canadian company CannaRx sells unsafe medicines to U.S. buyers. Interesting. And a story that was published back in 2017. MedCity News, December 2017. Employers find ways around FDA crackdown on drug imports to reduce prescription costs. These stories are related because it's been going on for a while. Marissa, yeah. What do we think?
Well, I wanted to find that quote for a second. Oh, yeah.
I got it. The Food and Drug Administration on Tuesday said a major Canadian drug distributor was selling unapproved mislabeled medicines to unsuspecting Americans looking to save money on prescriptions and warned it to stop. The company called CanRx sells many common prescription medicines at a lower cost to hundreds of public and private employer programs in the United States. Many of its buyers are city and county governments seeking to save money, among them Albany, New York, and Duluth, Minnesota. CanRx says the medications it sells are high quality from Canada, Australia, and Britain, but the FDA says it's not always the case.
Yeah. So it's funny because if you look at the 2017 article, yep. FDA spokeswoman Lindsay Meyer said the ones we found and tested may have been safe, but that doesn't mean that they all were.
If I could find it,
we
I would.
Do believe that it's unsafe. I have it on my screen.
Your
too.
Screen.
So this seems like another way to just get money.
Yeah.
Because they were fighting these companies that were outsourcing the medication to the Canadian pharmacies.
Yeah.
And so now they're continuing to try to crack down on this behavior just by issuing a warning.
But it's about money, mostly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's mostly, okay.
So do you think that it's actually safety, or is it just like politics and like big pharma?
I think it's just politics.
Politics and money. I know a lot of people that get their medication from Mexico, and they love it. So just
yeah, and we have to remember that the FDA regulations, they're not the greatest either, because haven't we heard stories where FDA will say, hey, I'm going to make an inspection around
if your lab or your facility in China 6 months ahead of time, book the travel arrangements for me, please, kind of yeah. thing.
Oh, I yeah. wonder what they're going to come do.
I got to find that because she was on PBS, so I think her book should be out by now. I got to find her. That's very interesting.
But it was just, it's just funny.
Yeah, because
they're pretending like they're held to a much higher standard.
And they're not. They're just held to a much higher cost.
Yeah.
And much higher profits. What do you think, Dan?
About the FDA or about like
anything,
money?
Drugs, money, pharmaceuticals, man?
Man, there's just too much money in like all these politics and like all this. I'm going to go on my liberal rant here.
That's right. But do it.
Too much dark money. You gotta take it out, you know.
Take money out of politics.
Yeah.
Money
yeah.
out of politics for sure.
Big pharma's buying people off left and right.
Yep, yep.
Ooh, so much more liberal talking points that I really want to get to. But no, this is true though. Besides all that, besides my jokes, it's a problem.
Yeah, all joking aside, it actually is a problem.
Yeah.
That's the sad thing.
But
really
the question
is
who is going to lead the charge? Everyone's just too scared or too bought off.
Yeah, that's because we keep bringing it up how much more our medications cost here in the U.S. We talked about that last episode.
Yep.
But
I don't know. Doesn't seem like there's anyone
who cares.
Let's not get in too far into politics, but I think there are some hopefuls coming up, but as far as that, it seems a little hopeless.
Yep. Because it never comes into the conversation. Yeah,
there's a lot of things that I guess we could describe that way, but, well, you know.
Oh, someone in the Mixer chat said, Dan, talk more, by the way.
I don't like that idea.
I might like your voice.
Yeah.
Thinking, Dan, talk more.
Oh, okay. You want some ASMR?
Yeah, they want ASMR.
It must be because I'm breathing from my stomach.
Talk louder.
Talk
louder. Oh, move that microphone close to your face.
I'll just put it in my mouth.
Yeah, put it in your mouth. There you go. Put it in your mouth. Perfect. Mother Jones, environmentalists didn't expect this would happen when they busted dams. Damn that dam. dam busting is a grand tradition of American environmentalism. In 1966, when the Sierra Club and allies got Congress to prohibit new dams in the Grand Canyon, it was a turning point, the biggest victory yet for conservation, according to a PBS documentary, A Fierce Green Fire. Interesting. What do you think?
Yeah.
About busting dams? What?
Well, it said that it led to more fossil fuels.
Yeah, it's true.
Which was also kind of funny because it was supposed to be
better. I'll read it. Better it's right there, that second paragraph. The environmental movement was so successful in its opposition that it effectively ended all major dam building in the United States. But blocking that source of low carbon power did nothing to quench the thirst for electricity. Most often than not, I don't know why it said that not, it should be then not. Fossil fuel fired power plants came to replace hydropower, using the water from those undammed rivers to cool their boilers, according to a recent study. Blah, 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 blah. Yep. So that's something that my my coworker talks to me a lot about, is the dam busting back in the day in California.
So is he against dam busting?
He said there used to be reasons for it, but now we're not capturing the water. He said all the rainfall that we just had is not really getting captured anywhere. It's just going right into the ocean.
Yeah.
Well, instead of being captured and used in a hydroelectric plant or something.
If your argument is that we need to get rid of fossil fuel dependency, then we might want to explore hydroelectric plants.
Yeah.
Which is what we could do with the dams.
So. Yeah. That's the thing.
I don't know. I've heard a lot of things about... See, at first I was against like nuclear power, but I've done some... Well, I wouldn't say research because we have scientists here who actually do like hardcore research, but like I've done some looking into that nuclear power isn't actually that dangerous. It, like in the grand scheme of things, it's not, it doesn't own up to the rap that it gets, you know? So there's actually a couple TED Talks that are saying that our getting away from nuclear power is actually very bad, because we could sustain ourselves solely on nuclear power and other renewables rather than going back to clean coal and some other fossil fuels.
Clean coal, yeah.
Clean coal.
Yeah. Clean coal. Oxymoron
just
there.
Just a little chuckle in there. But
no, we agree wholeheartedly. It's baffling to me why the green people, the greenies, whatever you want to call them,
yeah,
they're not more pro...
Yeah.
And you know who just came out as pro nuke? We have a clip of him, and he's a big lefty. He's also an investor in nuke, but I don't have the clip. I'm not going to put it on the show.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with
it.
Bill Gates.
Planning on talking about
Bill Gates. We have a clip of Bill Gates saying, "Man, you guys are going down the wrong road. Nuke's the way to go." I'm like, yes, yes.
Yeah, like I said, I was kind of like joined the bandwagon, but like if you actually think about it and look into like the numbers and like the statistics and like how often like these disasters do happen, and of course, like it's possible, but I think the benefits outweigh the negatives, especially when this is like a tipping point that we're about to reach.
That's what people keep saying.
Yeah, I'm all about diversifying.
Yeah, we need to have all the options available.
Yeah.
It's called redundancy, backup, you know, you just do it all. But fossil fuel is
It's very energy
when it
dense.
Spills and that's in the
true.
Ocean, that's bad.
That's
bad, and that has happened several times.
Yeah,
that's my issue with fossil. That's my main issue, is that not even the burning aspect. It's just the raw form.
And I'm pretty sure that fossil fuels probably led a lot of the cause of a lot of instability in some places in the world.
Venezuela.
Maybe,
Venezuela.
Middle East.
Currently Venezuela.
We may have to start a political show.
No. Want the healthy talk show, not the unhealthy talk show.
Wired, since China's ban, recycling in the U.S. has gone up in flames. Woo! Save the show. In a situation being replicated across the U.S., as cities struggle to adapt to a recent ban by China on the import of items intended for reuse. Since January 2018, China hasn't accepted 24 different recycling materials, such as plastic and mixed paper, unless they meet strict rules around contamination. The imported recycling has to be clean and unmixed, a standard too hard to meet for most American cities. This is a problem.
Yeah, this is bad.
So we're basically sending, we used to send China our crap, and now they're not taking it anymore, and now we're screwed.
Yeah, you have a clip, right?
You have a clip. It's started. Old. It's from last year. Yeah. From Vice, though, so... Advice. Someone in the mixer chat saying, Dan, dab. Dan, dab. Well, dab. Dab. Whoa, dab with your arm, dude. Do your arm thing. That dab. I can't
That dab. Yeah, do the dab. Oh, okay. I, like, dab. If I were to dab, I would like completely teleport. Like last time. No, we don't. We don't do that here.
We don't do that. HealthyTalkShow.com/support. Can't afford it. Let's watch a video about trash.
Nice.
They sort recyclables, squeeze them into cubes, and then, under normal circumstances, sell them to companies that turn the paper and plastic into all kinds of industrial products.
What percentage of the stuff that is processed here ends up going overseas?
Probably half of the recycling that we do.
And what percentage of that goes to China?
Oh, it was probably like 90. Yeah.
Okay. What? It's insane.
What?
90.
90%? Of half.
Typically, there might be a few dozen one-ton cubes sitting around. But now, Harvey's got thousands of them.
We usually have inventory that sits for a couple days and then moves out. This has been sitting for a couple months. It's just a monstrosity amount of inventory that we're sitting on. It.
The pileup started back in January, when China banned...
January 2018? Not 2019. Just FYI. This is an old video.
The import of 24 different types of paper and plastic, including things like reusable water bottles. China also changed its requirements for the recyclables it still accepts. It only wants higher grade clean stuff that's almost perfectly sorted.
It's not good. That's not good.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to? Yeah.
Maybe we need to invest more in recycling plants here.
Or
maybe we should invest less more
waste
in
yeah, less wasting waste. Less.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really hard to do, though, changing people's patterns and packaging.
Yep. Here's a recycling broker from the dock.
We're offering them to everybody.
I didn't know these existed.
That's the challenge.
Jonathan Sloan is a broker. He buys recyclables from people like Harvey and then sends them to countries around the world. And China's new policy has made that work a lot harder.
I've seen lots of bad markets in the 30 years I've been doing this, but I've never seen anything like this. It's had a dramatic impact on the entire industry, east to west, north to south.
What's changed in the marketplace as a result of this decision?
Price has been dramatically reduced on things like mixed paper. 2 years ago, getting $75, $85 a ton for your mixed paper to being charged in a lot of cases to take it away.
So you have to pay now for someone to take something that they used
to get paid
to pay
full,
you for?
Correct. That has totally upended the economics of a lot of recycling programs.
U.S. recyclers haven't just had to take whatever price they can get. They've also had to scramble to find new buyers. In the first 4 months of the year, recyclable paper and plastic exports to India, Indonesia, Taiwan, and Vietnam have all more than doubled.
With all this material going to ports that it wasn't going to before, how's it affecting those ports? I mean, are these countries able to accept that much stuff?
Yeah, I'll stop it there. Because he talks about something that's past.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting. So this is still a problem today. What are we going to do?
We send so much waste to recycling.
Yeah, there's a conclusion. It might have that. I want to watch it.
Let's watch it.
Sorry.
Then we'll comment.
At the moment, some states are already giving companies waivers to throw out recyclables. It's happening in more than a dozen states, including Massachusetts, where more than 4,000 tons of paper and plastic recyclables and more than 10,000 tons of glass have been sent to landfills.
Have you gotten waivers to throw any of this stuff out?
No.
Have you thought about applying for them?
At some point, if we're forced into it, maybe. I don't think that will come. I hope it doesn't, but there's no secret. I mean, we need China, no question.
China isn't the first developing country to leave these bottom feeder businesses behind, and it won't be the last, which is a good thing for the global economy, but it will continue to have huge ramifications for how we live on this planet.
recycling's not as easy as people think, that, you know, you throw it into this big bin and it, you know, magically turns into something that's super valuable. And now people can see, like, okay, this is what happens when you rely on another country and they decide that they don't want your stuff anymore.
Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it there.
Yeah.
They don't want your crap, then what do? You shouldn't have been sending them your crap this whole time in the first place.
I know. How do we not have plants here to take care of that?
Why would we?
Yeah.
Because when you think about the carbon footprint, if we want to talk about carbon footprint.
Burning trash and everything's hazardous. Even that Wired article we have talks about that.
Yeah.
How hazardous it is. How people are getting sick. And.
But it also costs so much money and oil to ship it so far. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, before we move on, but what do you guys think about that the straw ban in, like, I think it's like San Francisco or like.
The straw ban is just silly, though, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Why?
Why
is it silly?
Why is it silly?
Because it's targeting one very specific type of plastic, and there's so much other waste. Plus, there's also the issues that now people with disabilities that need plastic straws. They may not have straws available now at these restaurants. So.
Yep. And it's also an industry that they just completely obliterate over that. I used to work for a straw factory, so I understand.
Yeah.
And it's the only one in the United States. Everyone else imports from China.
What about plastic bags? We have that here.
Yeah, the ban in California.
Yeah, we're also against the plastic bag ban.
Not that we're a big plastic ban fanatics. We're not trying to freaking clothe ourselves with plastic bags, but regulating something out like that, all it did was started charging poor people for plastic bags.
Yeah.
That's the only outcome.
As seen in some of our previous HTS episodes, it might have been the cause of the typhus outbreak.
Yeah. We're tying the homeless poop situation and typhus all to plastic bags.
Yeah.
All
right.
We're taking Dr. Drew Pinsky, and we're backing him up, but we're saying plastic bags are to blame. He's got to come out and say that.
Come on,
Dr. Drew. Help us out. TechCrunch. 5G phones are here, but there's no rush to upgrade. And this is a cool story talking about all the 5G phones that were just released. Samsung has one that folds. Looks really cool.
Look at the prices.
Yeah, look at the prices.
So prices range from an eye-popping $2,600 for a Huawei's foldable phablet to tablet.
Samsung Galaxy Fold is $2,000? No.
Yeah.
What? Are you serious? I thought it was $1,200.
I thought
that was $1,200. I've seen it.
No, that's a regular. That's like a regular.
Oh, that's just a regular piece of crap phone.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, either the Galaxy or the Note. I have the Note. It's pretty cool, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah, and then they have the reasonable 680 Xiaomi's Mi Mix.
Yeah, that's a reasonable phone. $680. It's not bad.
Yeah, right. We paid $200 and.
Yeah, $250, $300.
$250 for ours.
Someone in the Mixer chat saying, Matissa Dab. Matissa Dab. I don't know what that means.
Marissa. I'll dab.
Matissa Dab.
Oh, my
all
gosh.
Right. So now that I've dabbed, this is all a marketing ploy?
Yes. The world's number one smartphone. Nope. 5G network standards are yet to be fully finalized. So the core technology is not 100% fully baked. And with it being the early days, there's still a long way to go before we have a real significant impact of 5G types of services. That was in the article. And I agree.
We agree. We also don't really like 5G, as we've stated before on this phone.
Yeah, we're very.
We reached out to the doctors.
Yeah, but they said no. They only want to go. They haven't said anything.
No, yeah.
But I'm assuming they're thinking, I want to be on a real podcast. These guys are a bunch of amateurs.
Yeah.
Look at them with their Heil PR40s. They're not using real microphones.
But yeah, don't buy a 5G phone, guys.
Yeah, not recommended.
Probably don't want 5G, and we don't have 5G networks.
Yeah, there is no 5G, so.
And they'll probably charge more for it.
Yeah,
and the service will cost more. Either way, we're screwed.
Yeah.
They're just going
to. Robert Dab. In the chat room, their Mixer, we got to wait after the podcast, my friend. We don't talk about.
Robert only has one arm.
I have one arm. I can only dab one arm, dude. Only go one way. I got one arm. C&EN video tested one dog's genetics and got weird results. Do you want to watch about this doggy DNA test? Have you heard about this, Dan?
No, I have not.
Oh, you will.
Oh no.
Ultraviolet or UV as her friends call her. We know UV because her human is CNN's audience engagement editor, Doria Reeser. And while we get to spend a lot of time with UV, we actually don't know much about her past. Doria says the shelter where she adopted UV really had no information. But what if a genetic test could finally give us some answers?
Well, everyone wants to know what she is, and it seems like more than half the people at the dog park have had it done. So it's kind of this like cool badge of honor to be able to say what your dog is from these DNA tests.
Over the past decade, companies like 23andMe have popularized genetic testing for the average person, giving them a glimpse into their ancestral past. Now, people are projecting the same genealogical curiosity onto their pets. They want to learn the genetic makeup of their beloved mutt, or they want to know if their purebred schnauzer is really as pure as the breeder claims. Last year, the animal genetics market pulled in about $4.2
billion. $4.2
billion.
That's why this is relevant, by the way.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why it's relevant to me.
That's the only reason why we're watching this
video.
That's
a huge... Whoa.
Dan, you looked really skeptical there.
Yeah, well, but then you see that number. It's legitimate now. It's a real industry.
Why?
It
but
exists.
Are these products worth the money people are spending? How do the tests work? And how accurate are the results? Well, we tried to find out with UV's help.
Aww.
We ordered
UV
three different brands of dog DNA tests to see how the results stacked up against one another.
Good.
That dog is a mutt. Oh, you can tell.
Yeah,
it looks like your dog.
Yeah, because it looks like our dog.
Yeah. And we have no idea what my dog is.
All right, dog DNA result differences.
DNA My Dog said she was mostly German Shepherd. Wisdom Panel said she had an eighth each of a bunch of breeds like Dachshund and Lhasa Apso. Embark said she was a third poodle with other breeds mixed in. While there was some overlap between the tests, the percentages were all over the map.
Yeah. What?
Also,
Let's look at
DNA My Dog. It has 10 to 20% Great Pyrenees. Those things are huge.
That's funny. I didn't know that. That's funny.
So they have... The DNA My Dog makes it sound like that UV should be huge, but...
Interesting.
If I was a betting person, I would bet more on Wisdom Panel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's check it out. Genomes and stuff.
These tests work the same way as human tests. These tests sequence, or read, the DNA in a dog genome. But the genome contains about 3 billion base pairs. So reading all of that genetic information would get pretty expensive. Instead, most commercial tests read only a fraction of that information. Specifically, they look at read biomarkers, which are short sequences of base pairs in the genome at particular locations that have been associated with a breed. While geneticists have identified a ton of human biomarkers, there's much less published data on dog biomarkers. To figure out what biomarkers to look for, companies get samples from purebred dogs and build unique breed reference panels. But there's a lot of genetic diversity even within a breed. For example, border collies bred for show are different from those bred for herding. So it's important that these reference panels contain as many...
Interesting.
Yeah. There's
makes
a lot of work
perfect
that
sense.
Goes into
that it. That is a pain in the butt.
...lineages as possible. To look for these biomarkers in
so
your dog,
work.
A lab takes a sample, extracts the DNA, chops up the DNA, and pours it over what's called a sequencing chip. And it's dotted with lots of tiny strings of DNA, each one designed to match a specific biomarker in the genome. If your dog's DNA sample has that biomarker, it'll stick to the chip in that particular spot. Then the computer tallies up all of the matches and uses a proprietary algorithm to compare the results with the reference panel. And voila, you have breed percentages.
Perfect.
Dude, I love that proprietary
algorithm.
Yeah,
that's the...
What does that mean?
Got one more. Which one's the closest to being right?
One was the closest to being right.
Ooh.
Jessica tells us there are two big factors in a test's accuracy. One is the number of breed biomarkers a test uses. More is better, she says. Wisdom Panel looks at about 1,800 breed biomarkers, and Embark looks at about 200,000.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a big difference.
That's a big difference.
DNA My Dog doesn't disclose this number.
That's bad.
Rip.
The company did, however, claim that you only need about 50 biomarkers for breed identification.
Are they right about that?
Great Pyrenees?
I don't think they are.
We asked Jessica about that, and she says the firm was likely misinterpreting a 2010 paper that points out about 50 regions of interest in the genome associated with phenotypic traits, such as coat type, in different dog breeds. But that doesn't mean that these are the only locations in which breeds differ from each other. She says, while it's certainly possible to identify a purebred dog with less than 100 biomarkers, you don't know how mixed a dog is going in. So again, more biomarkers are better. The other factor that can improve a test's accuracy is how many breeds are in its reference panel. DNA My Dog has about 100 breeds in its profile, while Embark has more than 250, and Wisdom Panel has more than 350.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
DNA dog testing, or dog testing DNA. Yeah. DNA testing for your dog.
How much are these?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Dan. Amazon.com, Wisdom Panel, $149.99. Only 49 customer reviews. That's weird. Embark Dog DNA Test, $189, 711 customer reviews. Very.
You know, that's not too bad compared to the other one, given how much information Embark uses.
$109 for dog breed identification. Oh, one customer one review. Ooh, probably not the best.
Well, that was the one that didn't seem to do as thorough yeah. of a job. So you get what you pay for, but is it worth the money?
I just want to get some place in my life where I could
worry
spend,
about
yeah, $200 on a DNA test
for your dog.
And I have to, you know.
Because I really don't care what my dogs are. I don't care. I got them from a shelter. I don't care what
That's
they are.
That's true. Love is love.
Yeah, love is love. What does it matter? I don't even know what I am. I'm not going to do one of those DNA tests for myself. Heck no.
They'll sell your information.
Yeah, they'll sell my information. True. That's true.
You're essentially signing away your information, but I know my family's history pretty well.
Yeah, you know your history, and I know my history not well, because I don't want to know my history. I want to be a mysterious man.
Oh, my goodness.
He's scared of what he might find.
Yes. You have this next story, University of California.
So this is a pretty interesting one. The University of California boycotts publishing giant Elsevier over journal costs and open access.
Uh-oh, I don't know anything about this. Can we go to your screen?
Yeah, so we're on my screen.
Okay.
So this is a really big deal because the UC system is huge, so they have a lot of power. And so they announced today that they will stop paying to subscribe to journals published by Elsevier, the world's largest scientific publisher.
Why?
It's getting too expensive. And
it's all about price?
Pretty much. So this follows 8 months of negotiation. And they apparently, the UCs are advocating for more open access, so open access meaning free journals. And this has been an ongoing debate in the scientific community, hence why I had to put it up there.
Yeah, we actually listened to a podcast where they talked about this.
Yeah.
And they were going the other way. They were saying that these free journals are no good, basically what I was getting from their tone.
Yeah.
And that the prestigious ones, you have to keep the prestige because you're paying for the quality.
But the other argument is the taxpayers fund the research, so it should be open for everyone to read if they want to, which I think is great.
Absolutely. If there's any taxpayer funding, it needs to be open for the public.
Plus, there's also the concern if you're at a smaller university, you don't have access to every journal necessarily. And even the other schools that we think of, you know, big schools, MIT, the UCs, they can't afford these costs. So that's a big question. Dan, I think you had something else to add.
Yep.
That other story I showed you or like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Well, before that, can we really like, or should we really like hold information from people? Because like if we look at the world today, like trying to prevent people from getting nuclear weapons or like countries, like does that actually work? I don't know. This is tangent. Never mind.
No, I agree with you 100%. Yeah. And I take the same stance on the anti-vax stuff, Alex Jones, all this stuff. You can't stop information.
Yeah.
If it's bad information, the more you try to stop it, the more it's going to be called out usually. But I agree in this respect, it's science. This is all useful information. We all need it. I don't know.
Well, yeah. And then there was that story. Yes. So apparently it's going to be a broad generalization because I didn't spend a lot of time looking over it, but there's this previously Aaron Schwartz. So he was at, I think he worked at MIT or something like that, and he ended up downloading a lot of scientific journals from JSTOR. And what ended up happening, obviously, it's he was found out and he was then convicted, but like
he didn't go to trial. So well, they were pressing charges.
He was caught. He killed himself before they went to trial. So
yeah, but, he was caught, and then I think
he killed himself?
Yeah.
Well, first he turned over the hard drive of information to MIT or the authorities and said, okay, here it is. Here's every article I downloaded. But then the United States still went after him for violations of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, where you're not supposed to sign into computers, because he signed into an MIT computer that he shouldn't have had access to, and he set up this program to automatically download all these
journals. Yeah, he did bad things.
Yeah, but he was ultimately just trying to free the information.
Yeah, I completely understand that. He was trying to Edward Snowden the situation.
Yeah, and there's actually I think it's a girl in Russia. I was looking up this article too, where she's kind of in trouble because she's been downloading and posting articles, and she's kind of made this rival network.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, and then there's also ResearchGate, which people may or may not be familiar with. It's supposed to be this for-profit social networking thing for scientists, and I guess you can upload your journals there, but that's not legal according to the copyright agreements you may have signed with these big publishers. So
you can't even do it legally? Because if you publish with the big publishers, they make you sign a copyright where they take over the copyright?
Essentially.
Kind of thing?
But then I've heard other scientists argue, well, if you email that scientist personally and say, hey, I'm interested in your article, they'll email it to you. But then that places a lot of burden on the scientist that wrote the paper.
Yeah.
And then what happened if that scientist dies or switches universities? It can be really hard to find their information. So.
Yeah. And is it their information because they were funded by something else?
It
should just be public information. If it's a public university, publicly funded, even in this... Even 5%, let's set a threshold, 5% or less, you have to open it up.
So do you like know how much of that funding is public? I don't know. I'm not familiar with how the grant system works, or do you know like what your lab
A lot of it is.
Yeah, a lot of
the salaries, you've got to be.
But it's also tricky because sometimes you get money for a project, but then you're actually using it to fund other projects. At least that's how it works in practice.
They just give you a huge lump sum, like, here you go. Yeah.
So it's kind of sometimes hard to deconvolute.
So it's probably not feasible to just, if you're publicly funded, then you could publish publicly because you have a lot of money coming in from different places, I assume.
Yeah, but they could put flags on it.
Yeah, I feel like
we do it where I work because we're a hybrid nonprofit / government. So if government funding comes in, everything gets a little different.
Yeah, but then editors, too, I guess, are concerned about who's going to pay for the server costs to maintain these journals and editors. But I'm not sure that editors always get paid.
Yeah. Something to think about.
There's a lot of... It's a big issue, so it's brewing.
So are there, like, any solutions? Or is this just, like, one of those things where you're like, well, there's two sides and... Both of them kind of are good, or good and bad, you know?
See, I think that there are solutions. Value for value.
Yeah, I think open access for everything.
Yeah.
Put it all on archive.org. That's just me, though.
Yeah.
Or, you know, instead of making people pay thousands of dollars to publish an article, maybe a lower barrier.
Yeah. Give researchers a Patreon, you know.
Yeah. Patreon.com/healthytalkshow. We have a Patreon.
Yeah.
If you guys want to support us, healthytalkshow.com/support.
There we go. The sellout. We got it in there.
Your scientists too, though.
Yep. Marissa's a scientist.
Yeah, we got to get Marissa a Patreon.
Yep.
Yeah. Or I guess people could start smaller grants and help fund more research, but.
Let's see.
We got science alert. Oh,
we got a comment in the chat. PL. OS1 is open access and high impact and well-respected. I don't know how their model works, but it strikes me that it should be emulated.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's what I see.
That's something you may have to look into. I don't know
anything about this. Cuties, are you a friend? Do we know you in real life? You should definitely tell us in Discord if we know you.
Yeah.
Don't tell us in the Twitch chat.
But that is a good point. So obviously, some journals make it work. I'm not sure how. We'll have to research that further. And
we could start a journal ourselves.
We could, but then we wouldn't be respected. That's our problem.
Oh, yeah. I'm never respected.
Yeah.
Group
kiss for a follow. Sorry, can't do that. We're actually not even in the same room.
Group kiss?
They're brought in over Skype.
That was my group kiss to the chat.
They're across the nation from me. Actually, really far away. We bring them in over Skype.
Ooh, that mouth therapies. I could feel it now.
Oh, my God. Yeah, use a condom, guys.
Yeah, use a condom.
Mouth condom. But for the ACS subscription, don't we get access to their stuff?
Or? Yeah, that's true. So if you're an ACS member, you get access to so many journals.
I mean, that probably doesn't matter to anyone who's listening, but...
But it's true. You do pay money from your dues, so... To help support that.
Nothing's free in life.
It's true.
Do you know if you could get a personally, like me, I could go to JSTOR and get a subscription for just me? Or
yeah,
like,
you can.
You have to pay a ton of money.
Expensive. Is it a ton of money?
Yeah, it's thousands.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, because one article to buy is anywhere from $20 to $40, probably, depending on the journal.
Jeez.
Yeah. So.
Damn. What a racket.
It adds up.
Well, I guess I'm not going to be doing any research anytime soon.
No, you can't afford it.
Not unless you go to a campus and hang out there.
Hey, but could I go onto campus and just
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. So if anyone needs to do any research, you just go to your local public university and just mooch. You just go crazy.
Pretty I don't know. Much.
Is that a thing? Can you do that? I think you could do that.
I think you can.
Just don't download illegal music because they know.
Yeah.
You'll get a nice email.
And don't post inappropriate comments on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Especially not on our channel.
Yeah. Especially not on our channel.
And don't post anti-vax.
Yeah. Don't post anti-vax stuff on YouTube either. It's bad.
Right.
Science alert. It's official. Scientists can now make THC cannabis can now make the cannabis psychoactive without the plant. My bad. The spell check in Word, it keeps automatically correcting things. I don't know why. In a move that's expected to transform the marijuana and pharmaceutical industry, scientists at the University of California at Berkeley announced on Wednesday that they had for the first time created cannabis compounds in a lab instead of harvesting from a plant. You've seen an increasingly popular approach known as synthetic biology. The researchers genetically engineered yeast to churn out a key component of marijuana that's a precursor to two of the best known compounds in the plant, THC and CBD.
Wow.
What do we think? That's exciting.
It's possibly interesting.
Yeah, but it's really easy to grow it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot more work to grow it in a lab than it does just plant some seeds outside. And
yeah, the thing with lab is it's a lot faster. But I guess it depends too what you're going to do with the THC. Hmm. I guess I'm going to say from a natural hippy dippy standpoint and also a chemist standpoint, we may not know all the other natural terpenes and natural chemicals that are in the flower versus just pumping out pure THC, CBD.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you still want to go for the flower.
But the quality control is probably much better on
in
that.
A lab. Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Like if you want some good stuff, you're probably going to
lab grade.
Lab, you know?
I got this lab grade THC.
Yeah. Lab grade, research grade.
Research grade.
THC. Yeah. True. Damn.
Science Daily. THC. Found more important for therapeutic effects in cannabis than originally thought. And I've been hearing whispers of this. A lot of people think that you have to have a certain percentage of THC for it to be effective. I keep hearing this, and apparently it might be true.
Obviously, we need more research done. Yep. So it's actually pretty hard to do research on marijuana because they are federally illegal. So a lot of labs, it's very restricted and people don't want to bother with it. So,
yep. Dried flour was the most commonly used product and generally associated with greater symptom improvement than other types of products.
I found that also interesting.
Yeah. It's the flour. Smoketh of the flour.
Yeah. It could be those natural other chemicals that we haven't really defined as well.
Yeah.
Didn't you have some controlled substances in your lab, or do you know like the procedure, like what you'd had to do?
For marijuana, it's different because it's even a higher class. But for
schedule one,
for drug precursors, they have to be in a locked cabinet, and then you have to write down how much usage. But if you're dealing with probably marijuana, you have to really record every little gram, and if something goes missing, you're in trouble.
Yeah. So who do you turn the like the papers into? Like you just like do you never really had to deal with that?
I guess we could get audited at any time.
Oh. Like if you're buying too much or
actually it's all going up in smoke.
That's true.
It's like, why does it smell so dank in here?
Yeah. So that's when you would get audited.
Why did Robert run out of your lab? A bunch of smoke follow him.
That never happens, for the record.
Never happened. I don't even go to your lab that much.
That's true.
Plausible deniability.
Yeah.
Cool. So I think we're done with the headlines. Now we want to talk about our diet, or at least this is going to be something that we're going to clip out for YouTube, probably for my coworkers, so they can learn. Do you want to go first? I can show people what I eat every single day. Well, actually, we lost 45 pounds.
Well, we'll kind of do it in tandem.
Okay.
Because we can pull up my screen.
Do yours first. And from the chat, someone said grunting_spook, and spook not in a derogatory term racially. I believe that is a government term. People get those confused. Too bad. Oh. Could be a bad word either way.
Oh, yeah.
But I always take it as a government thing myself.
Why are we talking about government?
Because he said, I gained 45 pounds eating goat cheese and lettuce. Oh. I don't know if it's true, but it's from the Mixer chat. So I'm throwing it out there. That's all. Sorry. All right. Our diet. Go.
Our diet. So we're pretty boring.
Yep.
During the week, we keep a pretty regular diet. So we start off the morning, we have our kefir and our 1 tablespoon of chia.
Yep.
So chia is really good for you, high in fiber.
Yep.
And we also have 2 hard-boiled eggs. I don't know if Robert wants to show these eggs.
I can.
Yeah.
What do hard-boiled eggs look like? I've never seen that.
We're actually really lazy.
Well, we buy the ones from Costco, my friend.
Yeah. So I don't have time to boil eggs every morning. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Hard-boiled eggs, 68 calories per egg.
Wow. Some good stuff.
Yeah. Packed full of protein.
We don't mess around here.
And then
only the best.
So for lunch, Robert takes every day. He has his Ensure. So we get the knockoff Ensure. We're poor. HealthyDoctor.com/support.
The Patreon. Yeah. Oh, it's not even on.
Oh.
Now it is.
So our Kirkland Complete Nutrition Shake.
So just to throw it out there, you buy everything from Costco. So you're going to see this as a recurring theme, everyone.
Pretty much everything. Yeah. Unless that's how we save money.
Unless it's from Winco.
That's how we save money.
And then we also eat a lot of fruits and veggies. So hard to get fat off of fruits and veggies. So one cup of grapes and 1 cup of carrots.
I can't show these on camera. We'll have to redo this segment for the YouTube. I can't do it with one arm.
Oh, just show it up to your regular camera.
Then I have to click a button and show it and then click the button again. It's too much work. Too much work.
Oh, I can't do it.
I can't do it.
Giving up, chat. He's can't giving up.
Dan could help.
Yeah, Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Dan, get on cat
cam.
No,
he can't because he has to walk around. Just continue. Oh, I got pictures.
All right.
It's not the best because I have to switch between our screens now. So it's not the best, but it's okay.
It's okay. So where are you at? 2 string cheeses.
String cheeses. Did you take a picture of string cheese?
Oh, my God.
I think I forgot the string. And then 1 cup of yogurt and fruit.
Thanks a lot. Help
me out. String cheese. This is what string cheese looks like.
Costco. Galvani.
You guys.
Costco string cheese. You got to buy the good stuff. Organic.
Do you want to show the grapes and the carrots?
I don't. I don't want to show the grapes and the carrots.
I think everyone knows what grapes
are. Yeah, I think everyone knows.
I don't know about carrots, but.
Yeah, grapes. Everyone knows what grapes look like.
And then our dinner. So we're still trying to get money to help do our cooking segments.
Yep.
So, for example, I use I make healthy shepherd's pie with turkey, so I substitute out turkey for ground beef. That's kind of been our big saving grace.
Ground turkey for ground beef.
And then Tuesday, you got to have Tuesday night tacos, so we still have lettuce wrap tacos now.
Instead of using tortillas, we use romaine lettuce.
Yeah.
Romaine hearts to hold the taco together, and we use almond cheese instead of real cheese.
That's true. We also have turkey meat instead of beef. Stir fry, we have several variations of stir fry, but we don't use rice, so we either use cauliflower rice or we started using this new low-calorie pasta zero noodles. That's also been really good.
Mushrooms, aren't they? Made out of mushrooms or something? What are they made out of?
I actually don't remember. Some sort of root thing.
I'm sure I have no idea what they're made out of, but they're good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
They sop up any sauce, so you just coat them with
great
whatever. I make really good cauliflower pizza.
Cauliflower crust pizza.
So if you guys want to learn how to make my special cauliflower pizza, healthytalkshow.com/support.
Yeah, we need $300 to do cooking segments.
It's a family recipe.
It's a family recipe.
Yeah.
It's not going to go cheap.
Our family.
And then Friday, so we do like to eat red meat maybe once a week. So that might be our cheat day. So we don't really cheat. These are kind of like our cheats with a little bit of steak. Maybe we'll make up burgers. We still eat potatoes. So we don't eat a lot of carbs. And part of that is because I am celiac. So we don't eat bread. But we don't actually recommend that anyone be gluten-free. So Robert eats ice cream occasionally.
And bread.
And bread.
As much as possible.
Yeah. And then have your side of asparagus for the weekend. We might change it up a little. So we make pretty good hemp heart oatmeal. It's a little bit healthier for you.
Another recipe if you want, healthytalkshow.com/support.
And then for lunch, we may have chicken burgers as a lettuce wrap, or we also make cloud bread if we feel fancy. And again, we'll have some fries.
We have a great cloud bread recipe and cooking strategy and pans and everything that are special for cloud bread that we have found.
We actually made cloud bread today.
Make great cloud bread.
And then I've been working on perfecting our orange chicken recipe. So our healthy, gluten-free orange chicken. And then Robert's favorite, I think, are these gluten-free, they're technically paleo, I think, chocolate chip banana pancakes. Actually, probably not with the chocolate chips, but if you made them blueberry, they'd be paleo.
Yeah. And they're really good, low calorie.
Yeah.
On point, delicious.
Then we're also a fan of acai bowls.
You are more than I.
Oh, my God.
I love the acai bowls.
I love acai bowls.
Yeah, they're good.
They're all right until you have them 5,000 times.
There's an anxiety every time I, like, order one. Like, am I saying it wrong? Oh, my God. Like,
I
keep forgetting on how to say it, and I don't want to be that one person. They're probably laughing in their head while I order.
Nobody knows how to say it correctly.
It's true.
Don't worry.
And then for dinner, we used to try to eat fish more once a week, but...
Money. So HealthyTalkShow.com/support if you want us to eat fish once a week.
Yeah, so salmon, you need your omega-3s. Get some salmon, some tilapia. Pair that with some sweet potatoes. That's very healthy. Or other veggies. So a lot of veggies in our diet.
Yes.
You notice.
We're mostly gluten-free, although we don't encourage it.
Yeah, definitely.
Low dairy.
Oh, another secret, our coffee. Yes. So we eliminated milk from our coffee, unfortunately, so we have coconut milk.
Yes, we drink coconut milk, this stuff right coconut here milk.
Yeah, so 45 calories
as opposed to normal milk, which is a lot per cup. I think whole milk's 170 or something crazy.
It's a lot of calories. So sometimes
this is coconut milk.
We're feeling fancy, we have oat milk. I think that's a little higher in calorie,
a little bit. It's also a little creamier.
Yeah. A hemp milk used to be another one of our favorites, but we haven't found the low-calorie version recently.
Yeah, or a low-calorie, low-cost version. Sprouts has it for $18 a gallon, whatever it is.
$18? No, it's not that much,
but it's expensive.
Sounds like Sprouts to me.
It's double what we're paying for it at Winco.
Even though I do like Sprouts. I'm not going to talk crap on Sprouts.
We also make healthy popcorn.
Healthy popcorn.
If people want to learn how to make healthy popcorn, old school style.
We got you.
Yeah.
So just reiterate how much weight you lost, because I think 40 that's a big...
45 pounds.
Yeah.
No exercise at all.
Well, for Robert, I have to exercise.
Yeah, I have not exercised in such a long time.
Do you just do like a bunch of cardio or something?
Yeah, I try to go to the gym. So actually, we do walk a lot. So we try to get our walk in every day, get our steps. We have our cheap Fitbits.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they just track the...
They just pedometers. They just track the steps, count the steps. So over what time frame from the chat?
Robert lost 45 pounds a lot faster. So how long did it take you?
4 months, maybe.
Yeah. I probably took almost a year. So yeah. Probably 10 months or so.
Yeah.
Just depends on your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the thing is, too, we're trying to lose weight slowly. Because everyone can lose weight if you go extreme, eat some shakes, and you'll drop 20, 30 pounds. But
yeah, and that's going to be an episode of Healthy Talk Show in the future.
Shakes,
yeah.
Some soy.
Keto, the keto diet. Yeah. I'm a big critic of keto.
Well, we're trying to just find a sustainable way to lose weight.
And it also saved us a ton of money.
Yeah.
That's another benefit that we'll talk about when we do this video properly.
What was
that? My coworkers keep hitting me up. We got to do a video.
We can still show them.
Not this video.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
We weren't prepared.
What was that cleanse you said you were doing?
We did a cleanse, yeah.
You did a cleanse?
Yeah,
we've tried.
But it's not a big deal. It doesn't really do anything.
Yeah. We did this papaya pineapple cleanse.
Didn't make us poop that much.
Yeah.
The poop performance was oversold, in my opinion.
Yeah, because we kept reading about how if you put the papaya seeds
in. Yeah, it's going to make you go crazy.
Yeah.
Make you go crazy.
You're
going to
be crazy, yeah. You're going to be pooping like crazy.
We did not.
I didn't, no.
I was really disappointed, actually.
Me too.
We'll just do what I do and just eat some really spicy food. Like some go to like Buffalo Wild Wings and just get the hottest one. That'll do it. I'll do it.
Clean you right out.
I thought Chipotle did you in.
No, yeah, don't.
But I can drink the Chipotle hot sauce, and that'll do me in.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, just hurt me. Drink.
I drink it.
Yeah, just drink hot sauce, and that'll be your cleanse. Yep. Everyone in chat.
I'm just drink hot sauce. Healthy Talk Show does not support drinking hot sauce.
Yeah, we don't support cleanses.
No, we don't support cleanses or fasting or any of that stuff. Nothing extreme. We're moderate when it comes to diets. Just take it gradual.
Very moderate, libertarian type people.
I didn't say that.
We don't express any values.
Those words
values.
Did not come out of my mouth. This came out of Dan's mouth.
Not me.
Well, I think we're good. We've did everything. Are we good?
I think we're good.
Is Dan good? You good, Dan?
I think I'm
Thanks for coming
good,
on,
I
man.
Guess.
We could do a podcast together, you and me.
Nice. I just want to play video games, honestly.
All right, we're ready. After this, we'll start playing video games.
I mean, like, in the future, like, none of this, like...
Thinking?
Like, yeah. I don't want to have to worry about, like, Overcooked and have Marissa just, like, chilling in the corner with, like, a plate in her hand.
That's a problem.
I want to do some, like...
Smash Brothers.
That and some, like, things where I get to, you know, show my prowess, you know? Like, some like, PC gaming, you know?
Oh, we got you. Yeah. We got PCs.
Let's do it. I'm excited.
All right, catch us on Twitch, maybe then streaming with Dan.
Yep, that's healthytalkshow.com/live. That's our Twitch page. Thanks for tuning in.
Done.
If you found value and useful information in the show, please support the show. Ask healthytalkshow.com, leave us a voicemail, 509-878-3229, or supporting the show financially over at healthytalkshow.com/support. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks again. Love and light.
Hey, but before we go... Should I use an internet condom?
Yes.
Yes. Go. Love and light.